A mountain reflects off of a lake below. A line of stars forms an arch over the mountain. Paramount. A Viacom company.
Guess who?
Oh, I'm so glad it's you. I've been waiting by the phone. I miss you.
Oh, yeah?
I have to see you.
Are you lonesome tonight?
Not now. There are some things I have to take care of.
I can't wait any longer. I have to feel you again.
I know.
Tell me what you want. Tell me how you like it.
Starring Jane Seymour.
Talk to me.
A woman's in an apartment.
I want you to lie back on that leather chair.
Parker Stevenson.
No. Let me close your eyes. Move my hands slowly down your chest.
Beth Broderick.
Oh, I can feel your fingers, that little gold ring, brush against me.
Oh, yes. Oh, Richard, I'm unbuttoning your shirt.
A woman's on a bed in a red negligee.
Mm. All the way down.
She's on the phone.
It's been a very long day, hasn't it, Richard?
Too long.
You're so tired, I know. And I'm so hungry for you tonight, Richard. Oh, let's get these khaki pants off of you.
Oh, that's it, baby.
Oh, your legs are so muscular. I can't wait for you to take those shorts off. Oh. Oh, take me, Richard. Do whatever you want to me.
I'm loving it.
Oh, I want you so bad. Oh, love me, Richard.
A long-haired woman listens on an extension.
Yeah. Oh, Richard, don't stop. Don't. I want to feel you against me.
Oh, you're so good.
He scribbles something down.
Oh. Oh, yes. Oh, Richard.
Honey, I gotta take this.
How can it wait, dearest? Nothing's more important than you and I.
If only that were true.
Richard?
The long-haired woman quietly hangs up the extension from her bedroom.
Richard, working late, I hope?
Everything's under control, I assure you.
Later, dressed in his pajamas and robe, Richard turns off some lights as he goes into the bedroom to join his wife, the woman with long hair.
Eddie?
The long-haired woman has her back to him and her eyes closed. He gets into bed. Eddie opens her eyes and wrinkles her forehead. The next morning, Richard puts on his suit jacket.
Important meeting this morning?
That's right, a very important meeting.
Richard, I think we need...
Please, don't start that again.
Start what? All I want to do is talk to you.
As if that's going to change anything.
Well, you're willing to talk to other people, why not me?
He turns and glares at her.
And what's that supposed to mean?
I think it's obvious.
I can't deal with this right now. I've got enough to worry about.
Like what? What do you worry about, Richard?
I'll see you tonight.
Eddie closes her eyes and tilts her head back. Still wearing her bathrobe, she crosses an upstairs walkway and heads back to her bedroom, flipping her waist-length hair back in frustration. As she walks slowly through the elaborate house, she goes into an office. Guns are on the wall, as well as several hunting trophies. She sits at Richard's desk, looks through some papers on his desk, then opens a drawer. It's full of cassette tapes. She picks up one and stares at it. Later, she's in an office with a mustached man.
Adrian, what a nice surprise to see you. I haven't seen Richard at the club lately.
Well, he hasn't been himself lately.
Yeah, well, it's a tough time for his business right now.
I know, I've certainly put enough money into it.
Yeah, but he'll pull through. Richard always does.
I'm not sure that I will.
What are you saying?
It's been a very hard year, and I'm thinking about a separation.
Separation? You mean this isn't just a social call?
Do you have a cassette recorder?
What for? Do you think I'm going to be taping this conversation?
I have something I want you to listen to.
She gives him a tape.
What is it?
He gets a tape recorder from a drawer. She stands as he puts the recorder on his desk and inserts the tape.
That is just what I want. How can you read my mind, Richard, honey? Is that just another special gift you have?
Only with you. Tell me, where are you right now?
Now? You know where I am. In my bed, with just my black bra and panties on. Waiting for you to take them off.
I'm taking them off now.
Oh, yes. Do you like what you see?
Adrian, I don't need...
No, listen.
Are you going to be a good boy now?
A woman enters.
Mr. Nussbaum, yeah. You said you wanted me to leave these...
Now lick your toes, then up your thighs, and all...
He turns the tape off.
Yes, Mrs. Garner.
You said you wanted to look these over before I sent them to Mr. Dawson.
Yes, just leave them with me and close the door.
I understand.
With wide eyes and a frown, Mrs. Gardner glances at Adrian, then quickly leaves. He takes the tape out of the machine.
Where'd you get this tape?
She dumps more tapes onto his desk.
He must have... Take them off the message machine in his study. I found them this morning in his desk drawer.
Nussbaum shakes his head and raises his eyebrows.
It's a lot of conversations.
She sits in a chair and he leans on the front of his desk.
I don't know what to do. Richard hasn't touched me in 6 months and then I listen to this.
Hey. I always looked at the two of you with envy. Okay. You don't need legal advice. You don't even want it. You have to confront him. Just drop the tapes on the dining room table like you did on my desk and ask him what the hell he's up to.
Did anyone matter anymore?
You gotta give it a shot. Maybe it's just what he needs. It's worth at least confronting.
He puts the tapes back in her bag and is holding it in front of her. She takes it and stands.
Maybe.
He puts his hands on her shoulders.
Can we keep this confidential?
Between you and me and Mrs. Gardner.
She picks up her purse, opens the door, and glances back at him.
See you at the benefit?
Of course.
They smile at each other as she leaves. Nussbaum quickly picks up his phone. Later, Adrian's at a meeting.
If we can get the right kind of people to mingle in this section, we're bound to get the right coverage.
Eleanor, this isn't a social function to get us into W magazine. This is a benefit to try to raise money for a shelter for the homeless.
Adrian, let's be realistic. You've got to put on a good party to get the money flowing.
Well, you'll all have to excuse me. I need to go home early tonight.
But Adrian, dear, how about the music selection?
Eleanor, I'm sure you have some great ideas about that, too.
She leaves. Later in her large kitchen, Adrian puts two salads in the refrigerator. She walks to another door and opens it. It's a meat locker. She grabs a couple of steaks and goes back into the kitchen. She puts the steaks down and checks her watch. Later at the dining room table, Richard's salad sits untouched at his place. His chair is empty. Adrian sits at the other end of the long table with a frown. Fresh flowers and lit candles adorn the table and a bottle of champagne is being chilled. She looks at her watch. Soon after, she's walking upstairs near Richard's office. She goes into the office, wipes away a tear, and pushes a button on the answering machine. She walks out of the room and into her bedroom to change clothes.
Hey, Richard. I just wanted to make sure the deal went smooth yesterday. Haven't heard from you. Give me a call. It's a lot of cash.
Rich, what's up? Thought you were supposed to deliver today. Don't get me worried here, fella.
No. That's a very naughty boy, isn't doesn't show up when he's supposed to.
Please, Laura, this just isn't right.
Right? Oh, come on. When are you someone that cares about what's right?
In the middle of the day, how could you?
You can do better than that. Tell me you love me.
Not right now.
Tell me you love me. Forever and ever.
Laura, please.
So, Prince Charming, where am I? Let's play the game.
I don't know. You're in fishnet stockings in a tent.
No, not this time. You're really gonna like this one, lover of my life. Take another guess.
I don't really think this is the... What the hell?
What?
Are you kidding me?
Richard, what's wrong?
No!
Are you all right? Richard? Richard? Richard?
With tears on her face, Adrian rewinds the tape and hits play.
Take another guess.
I don't really think this is the... What the hell?
What?
Are you kidding me?
Richard? What's wrong?
No!
Adrian quickly runs from the room and starts searching the house.
Richard!
She hurries down the stairs. She checks in another room.
Richard!
She runs to some French doors and looks into the backyard.
Richard!
She goes back upstairs, but stops. At a busy police station, a female officer walks down some stairs carrying a clipboard. She looks at it as she approaches a waiting area.
Mrs. Wells?
Yes, you want to come with me, please?
She opens a gate for Adrian and shows her the way to a desk. They sit.
Okay, so your husband's disappeared.
That's right.
How long has he been missing?
Well, he's usually back about 6:30. At the latest, he's back by 8.
You mean he hasn't come home yet tonight? It's 9:30. He's been missing a couple of hours and you're worried?
I'm worried because I think something's happened to him. He's been hurt.
Really? Well, why do you think that?
I just know.
Mrs. Wells, I can't even file a missing persons report until your husband has been missing for at least 36 hours.
But can't you make...
Adrian, what on earth are you doing down here?
Harold, what a surprise.
I never thought I'd catch you down here. Well, what are you, drumming up a donation for the homeless benefit? Now, you do know that the police here are notoriously stingy, though we make sure that they're well-fed and overpaid.
The female officer forces a sarcastic smile for Harold.
Is there, something wrong?
She says her husband's disappeared, sir.
Disappeared? Richard?
No, it's just foolish. She's only been gone a couple of hours. I don't even know why I came down here. Why don't we just forget about it?
Well, what makes you think that he disappeared?
A blonde-haired man is listening.
Now that I think about it, Richard did say something about having a couple of drinks with some friends at the club.
Well, that's probably it. A few drinks with the boys, huh?
Adrian nods.
Listen...
They step away.
I have to talk to Richard, catch up. So if you could have him give me a call as soon as he gets in, that is after you've grilled him about where he's been all night.
Well, I think I better go.
I'll see you Tuesday night at the benefit, and you can be sure that I'll be there.
That's very kind of you. Good night.
Good night.
His smile fades as she leaves. Harold walks away, but the blonde-haired man quietly follows Adrian out of the door. He hurries to catch up with her as she goes to her car.
Mandel seemed to really throw you in there.
Excuse me, I don't know who...
Oh, I'm sorry. I always forget to introduce myself. I'm Matt Henderson. I'm a private detective.
Oh, I'm not in need of a private detective.
I couldn't help but overhear your conversation in the station about your husband. Mandel has a way sometimes.
It's none of your business.
That's true. But down the line, you may decide you want some advice or assistance that's a little more discreet. Let me just give you my card. I was a cop for 10 years before I went on my own. If you change your mind, just give me a call.
Well, I don't think I'll be needing this.
Well, keep it for memory's sake. Good night, ma'am.
He watches her drive away. Later that night, Adrian's lying awake in her bed. She checks her watch, then turns on a lamp to dial the phone. A framed photograph of her and Richard is on the bedside table. She's calling Nussbaum.
Gary, I'm sorry it's late. Have you heard from Richard?
No, I haven't spoken to him. Police, look, let me make some phone calls and see what I can find out. I'm sure he's just fine.
You're right, he'll probably show up tonight. Look, I'm sorry I woke you up. Good night, Gary.
She gets out of bed and puts her robe on. She goes to Richard's office and pushes the two doors open. She looks in an inbox and in a couple of drawers at his desk. She opens the glass door to a cabinet and looks through some books. She opens another glass door on another cabinet and glances under some more books. She walks to the front of the room where more glass cabinets are waiting. She checks one, then tries to open the cabinet door beneath it. It's locked. It has papers and many manila envelopes. She gets one of Richard's handguns and breaks the glass on the cabinet with the gun handle. She puts the gun on the arm of a sofa and grabs a handful of papers and envelopes. She puts them down on Richard's desk, then sits. She opens the first envelope and finds several forms. In an envelope, she finds several bank receipts for Pear Street Dental Plan. She glances around for a moment. She picks up another envelope and opens it. She finds pictures of women in bikinis and lingerie, as well as business cards for escort services and exotic dancers. Several of the women's pictures have business cards attached. She finds a picture of a dark-haired woman. The photo is signed by a woman named Laura. A card for double exchange is attached. Adrian stares at the photo of Laura in a black bra standing among sheer curtains. Later, a girl rollerblades down a sidewalk. Driving her black car, Adrian pulls into a small alley and stops at a house near the ocean. Two men walk by with surfboards. She knocks on the screen door of a house. Matt answers.
Ms. Wells, I'm glad you changed your mind. Come on in.
This is your office?
No, I gotta keep the overhead down. If you want, we go down the block to the coffee shop.
No, it's all right.
He leads her into a messy living room.
I'm sorry about the mess.
Just moving in, huh?
No. My dad left me the place a couple of years ago. I think with a little fixing up, it won't be too bad. You want something to drink?
There's not much in his refrigerator.
I take that back. You want some water?
Oh, no, I'm fine, really, Mr. Henderson.
Please, have a seat.
He sits in front of her.
Well, I did a check on your references, and you have a very good reputation.
That's nice to hear.
Poor, but honest.
Well, I was at the station because I'm worried about my husband.
Yeah, I figured. He still hasn't shown up yet?
No, and I'm not sure that he will.
You mentioned a tape on the phone. What's on it?
She takes the cassette tape out of her bag.
Maybe you should listen to it.
He takes the tape and puts it into a tape recorder.
Ah, now, don't act like that. It's all a big game. You know that.
That the fine husband?
She nods.
I'm not like that. I need to be held, stroked.
Nice bonus.
Then I want you to do anything you want to me, Richard. As long as you promise to love me the way only you know how.
This isn't important. Let me fast forward to the moment when...
Hey.
He stops her.
You're hiring me, right? Let me decide what's important. Does it bother you listening to this?
Of course.
How many tapes did you make?
She reaches into her bag, pulls out a handful of tapes, then sets them down.
At least 20.
Why do you think he made them?
I'm not sure. Richard's always had a very rich fantasy life about his job, his business, his private life.
I guess some of those fantasies weren't being realized at home.
Listen, Mr. Henderson, I didn't come all the way out here to have you belittle my marriage. I think that something very terrible has happened to my husband, and if you don't think that you're able to help me, then
I... Of course I can help. It's just that your husband's getting it on with another woman, and you're acting like it's the newest story in the world.
He was not having sex with her. It was just over the phone.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't make the distinction. Go ahead and fast forward to the important bit.
She drops her bag on the floor and fast forwards the tape.
I've never let any man do this to me. You know that? You're the very first.
I'm sure I am, Laura.
She forwards it again.
Are you kidding me?
Richard, what's wrong?
No!
Are you all right? Richard?
Matt stares at Adrian.
It's interesting.
It sounds to me like he was hit with something.
How'd you find this tape?
The machine was on when I came home, and the tape had run to the end.
Maybe he wanted you to find it. Maybe he wanted you to think something happened to him.
No, I think he came home early when he got this call, and then somebody came into the room while he was talking with that woman, Laura. And I don't want to think.
Or he just got too excited by the conversation on the phone and fell over.
That's a mistake.
Wait a minute.
It's not going to work.
Why are you so willing to give your husband the benefit of the doubt?
He sees the pictures.
He says too?
Richard had a very difficult year. Things haven't been going very well for either of us.
But you're not having an affair.
She stares at him.
Are you?
She grabs the pictures.
Goodbye, Mr. Anderson.
And starts for the door.
I recommend you stick to renovating family beach houses.
So I'm a little crass. It's one of my weaknesses. But it's going to work in your favor once I'm on the job.
You're not on the job, Mr. Henderson.
She slams the screen door in his face. As she gets in her car, he sees the recorder and grabs the tape out of it. Waving the tape, he watches her drive away. He stares at the tape, then puts it back into the machine. At a house, women are in short dresses. A man is with them.
The Exchange, where every fantasy becomes a reality. May I help you?
Yes, I'd like to talk to Laura.
Laura's not available today, but I'm looking at the most gorgeous brunette you've ever seen.
No, it has to be Laura.
Right. Hold on, please.
What's up?
Some woman only wants Laura.
What is it about her?
He sits with the girls.
$300? All right.
How will you be paying, cash or credit card?
I don't know, credit card.
I'll have the girl contact you. I'll need your phone number and address,
and you'll need a piece of identification, such as a business card or driver's license, to show the girl as she arrives.
At a restaurant, a man's hand is on a woman's leg.
You'll find me anywhere. Will you excuse me?
Well, of course, Laura. Don't be too long.
Laura goes to a phone as others at the table watch her leave.
What sort of business is she in?
She's a consultant, a fashion consultant. Very successful.
Laura smiles as she walks to the phone. She picks up a pen and dials the phone with it.
All right, this better be good. Let's have it.
Adrian's at a payphone.
Hello?
Hello there, precious. Are you feeling a little lonely this afternoon?
Is this Laura?
You got it, sugar thing. I love your voice.
I bet you have a wonderful body to go with it, don't you?
This is Adrian Wells,
Richard's wife.
Sorry, dear. Richard's wife doesn't mean much to me.
You damn well know who I am. You were talking to him on the phone 2 days ago when something happened to him. Don't you act naive with me.
Listen, I don't know who gave you this number, but you got taken.
I don't know any Richard, okay? I'll tell you what.
Don't you hang up on me. I have to talk to you.
You call back the exchange. Tell them this was a mistake.
I'll make sure they don't charge your card, okay? I don't do that for everybody, lover. Keep to your PTA meetings, huh? You're out of your league.
Adrian frowns and goes to her car. Laura returns to the table.
Everything under control?
Oh, yes. I told the office I do not want to be disturbed. Rest of the afternoon.
At Adrian's home, she's listening to more tapes and taking notes.
Where is she now?
Helping the homeless again. My big-hearted wife with the cold, lifeless body.
Oh, Richard. Such a joker.
Tell me, where are you? I'll come seduce you in the sauna.
You wouldn't do that. My class starts at 3. I've got to go.
Aerobics. I love it. I'll meet you there.
Ha! This is the Palm Club. I don't think they'd let you in. You're not a woman.
Meet you there.
Ha! This is the Palm Club.
Dressed in a suit, Adrian walks into the Palm Club. She sees a group of women doing aerobics in a large room. Laura's in the class. Adrian goes to a payphone and dials.
Hold on, I'll see if she's here.
A woman in an office at the club puts the phone down and goes into the aerobics class. She says something to Laura, who follows her. She picks up a towel before leaving the room. She dabs her chest with the towel as she goes into the office and picks up the receiver.
Hello?
Adrian quickly hangs up and goes to the office.
Who is this?
It's Adrian Wells. We have to talk.
Laura hangs up the phone.
Very persistent person. I have nothing to say to you.
You want everyone to know what you really do for a living?
She pulls out a picture.
I don't think this will go down very well at the Palm Club.
What do you want?
I want to ask some questions.
I'm in the middle of a class.
I'm in plenty good shape. No, I'm serious. Maybe you want me to put this up on the bulletin board.
All right. Okay. Just let me change.
Later, they go into a bar. Laura smiles at two men as she leads Adrian to some bar stools near a counter.
So what do you want to drink?
I'm not here for a pleasant drink.
Well, what are you here for, Mrs. Wells?
You were speaking to my husband on the phone a couple of days ago when something happened.
You got any idea how many guys I talk to on the phone every day?
Stop taking me for a fool. Richard taped your conversations. All of them.
I taped them? Why? Some kinky guy. Hey, Jimmy, where's the service here? Whiskey sour. Mm-hmm.
The bartender leaves.
You've been mutually cooing and fantasizing with him for hours on the phone. From what I can gather, pretty much enjoying it yourself, too.
Well, is that what you think? Well, now, what makes you the expert?
The point is that you were talking to him 2 days ago when there was a noise or a scuffle. Did you hear it?
Laura pretends to search for money as the bartender brings her drink. Adrian slaps some money down, and he leaves to get her change.
Thank you. Listen, I'm very worried.
All right, Mrs. Wells. I know you're Richard. Part of my business is protecting my clients. Your husband was into some very different stuff.
Look, I don't want to hear about your common sexual fantasies right now.
Common? Most guys want to get to me as fast as they can and do it. On the floor, on the table, anywhere their wife or their girlfriend aren't into. But Richard, all he wanted to do was talk, seduce me over the phone.
You never met him?
No, I wish I had. He seemed like a real gentle guy. He would just send me these checks in the mail and want to talk. He said his business was seducing money out of people over the phone. He liked conversations.
How often did you talk to him?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you got tapes, right? So you got a better idea than I do. No, I was getting tired of it lately. I mean, that's not how I make my good money. He said he was fascinated with my life. Wasn't very happy at home.
Adrian stares at Laura with tears in her eyes. The bartender returns.
Anything for the lady?
No, okay.
He leaves.
Turned him on to some of my girlfriends.
What happened in that phone call? Did you hear any other voice besides my husband?
No. Just this loud noise, and then he hung up. I didn't think anything of it. I mean, lots of guys do that. Feeling guilty, you know. Will you excuse me?
Adrian watches her pick up her pager and walk to a payphone. Adrian's eyes dart around as Laura laughs on the phone. Laura hangs up and returns to Adrian.
Made your calls. I gotta go. Will you give me a lift back to my place? It's just up the street.
No, I don't think so.
It's not that far, Adrian. And we can talk some more.
Well, if it is just up the street, I guess.
Laura bites her lower lip as she watches Adrian leave. Adrian and Laura pull up in front of Laura's apartment building.
You live here?
Surprised? Hey, why don't you come up?
No, thanks.
Oh, come on. You know you're curious. Want to see how the other half lives?
Oh, that's all right, I...
Oh, Adrian. It's just... You know, I have these phone numbers upstairs of the other girls I turned him on to. You might have some more information for you.
Well, why didn't you just bring them down?
Hey, you know, I thought I was the one doing you a favor. See you later.
Wait. I'll come up just for a moment.
Soon after, they're riding a freight elevator up to Laura's apartment. Laura pulls up a large chain-link gate, then steps toward the open apartment door. She motions Adrian inside.
Smell good.
Laura goes inside and Adrian slowly follows. Laura tosses her keys onto the kitchen counter as Adrian looks around the large apartment. Adrian sees a black sequin dress slung over the back of a sofa.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yes.
I made that one.
Really?
Yeah. One of my big dreams was to be a fashion designer. Took a bunch of courses. All the teachers said I was very talented. But I had lost patience with all that sewing, you know? I figured if I could make more money off other people's dreams, why worry about mine? I'm not so sure.
This life's getting to you.
I've saved a lot of money. A couple more years, I will be able to do whatever I damn please. Maybe even join a couple of fancy charity organizations like you. You excuse me.
Do you have those phone numbers?
Of course. I'll be right out.
She goes into another room.
Laura? Laura, your phone.
I'll get it.
Hello? Yes. I understand. No. No, I don't think this would be a very good time. Richard, your wife is standing right
here. Let me talk to
her. She wants to hang up.
Why in the world would he call you?
I have no idea.
You're not telling me everything, are you, Laura?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he was more stuck on me than I thought. He was whispering. He was going on about a gun or something. I don't understand this, Adrian.
Pierre, I was so damn worried.
Where are you going?
Away from you and him.
Wait a minute, Adrian. You sounded dangerous.
Good. Maybe that's just what you want.
Well, don't you want the phone numbers?
No. Keep it to yourself.
Adrian leaves. Later, she's packing her bags. She brushes her long hair out of her face as she goes to the phone.
Hello?
Adrian, are you okay?
Gary, I don't know what's going on.
Listen, have you heard from Richard yet?
I'm not sure.
What do you mean? Look, you want me to come over? You sound upset. You want some company?
No, I don't think so.
If you like, I could just be there. You know how much I care about the two of you.
I know. Now's just not a good time. Thanks for the concern anyway, okay? Good night.
Gary hangs up the payphone at the bar, picks up his drink, then walks towards some women and the man from Double Exchange.
Okay, everybody.
That's Barney.
All right.
At home, Adrian picks up her two suitcases and leaves the bedroom. She passes the office and approaches the open upstairs walkway. She stops and puts her bags down. She peers over the railing and sees the shadow of someone walking around outside. She quickly runs into Richard's office and grabs a gun. She checks for bullets, then quickly walks back to the open walkway, hesitantly pointing the gun in front of her. Adrian glances around cautiously, then starts down the staircase toward the front door. She stops as the shadow passes by a window near the door. She finishes going down the staircase, then stands with her back to the wall. She pulls back the curtain and points the gun at Matt.
Whoa, wait a minute!
What are you doing here?
You left the tape at my house.
She opens the front door.
You could have called me. Why are you creeping around my house?
I wasn't creeping around. I was cleaning off my shoes so I didn't get your carpets dirty. I didn't have time to ring the doorbell.
I heard someone in the backyard.
Well, it wasn't me. Look, I listened to the tape again. I think you're right. I think something happened to your husband. May I come in?
No, I don't need your help.
Oh, come on, Mrs. Wells. Please, don't play the martyr here. I think you're in serious danger. Before your neighbors see you brandishing a weapon at a strange man and call the police, I'd like to come in for a minute.
All right, then.
He steps inside.
May I?
And takes her gun.
Thank you. Ah, impressive.
It's my grandfather's.
Well, he sure had great taste. It must have cost a fortune.
Why do you think I'm in danger?
You said your husband's a financial consultant? Well, I think according to this tape that he was about to make a transfer of money on the day he disappeared, but he never did. Whoever was supposed to get that money might think he hung on to it.
Well, that's absurd. Richard would never steal any money.
I'm not saying he did. It's possible someone made him disappear before he could complete the transaction. You have any idea who your husband was working with the last couple of days?
Richard never talks to me about his business. I have no idea.
Matt nods.
What if I could see the room where your husband made the tapes?
This doesn't mean that you're hired, Mr. Henderson.
Yeah, I understand. Oh, please, call me Matt.
They go into Richard's office. He sees the hunting trophies on the walls.
Quite the collector.
Hunting was, or is, Richard's passion. He'd go for weeks on end up into Oregon or Wyoming, shoot down some animal and bring back its head as a trophy.
Sounds like you don't share his passion for killing.
No, I don't.
So, this is where he made his fame calls? Man?
Of course.
He sits in Richard's chair at the desk.
It's very comfortable. So, he just pressed the record button here when she called? And then what, drop the tape in here?
I guess so.
He sees the smashed glass from the cabinet.
Mr. Henderson, things have changed since we last spoke.
Have they?
Well, I had a chance to meet Laura, the woman on the tapes.
You what?
Well, she was the only link I had. I went up to her apartment and Richard called. He's alive.
Did you talk to him?
Well, no, not exactly. He hung up on me, but... That's not the point.
Well, that does change the case, doesn't it?
There's blood on the phone.
Well, yes. I mean, now it's really just a private matter between Richard and myself.
I see. Well, maybe a cup of coffee for my wasted efforts.
Sure.
They go into the large kitchen.
Oh, make that a beer if you got one.
You want a beer now?
Yeah, well... Coffee keep me up, and I need my sleep.
She takes two beers from the fridge.
So, now life goes back to normal?
That's what I'm hoping.
Thanks. What do you think you're kidding, Mrs. Wells?
Sorry?
There's crusted blood in the phone upstairs. A rifle's missing. Your bags are packed, and you're telling me life's going back to normal?
At this point, what's happening between Richard and...
Richard's missing. He might have been murdered. Who are you trying to deceive, yourself?
No. I don't know. I'm scared. Is that what you want to know?
No, I want to help you. People are disappearing around here, and I want to make sure you're not next.
Someone unseen is watching them through the kitchen window. Matt and Adrian sit at a table and drink their beers.
Let me listen to the tapes, Mrs. Wells. Maybe I can put all this together.
I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't even like beer, and look at me now.
I can find your husband, Mrs. Wells, if you give me the chance.
She takes a deep breath, then stares at Matt.
All right, Mr. Henderson. I'll hire you for the time being, but just for a couple of days. I'll get you some tapes to get started on, and there are some bank papers I'd like you to take a look at.
He nods and puts his hand on hers.
You're making the right decision, Mrs. Wells.
Adrian. I'll be right back.
She leaves. Matt turns and frowns. He goes to the kitchen window and looks out. Adrian returns with a bag full of tapes and a manila envelope.
Scribbled on the bottom of the papers was Pear Street Dental Group, whatever that means.
Well, let me see what I can dig up. I'd unpack those bags if I were you. Someone's liable to think your husband's split with the money and you're planning on joining him. Just try to go on with your life as if nothing's out of the ordinary.
That's easy to say.
Call me if you need me for anything.
I will.
Good night, Adrian.
Good night.
He leaves and walks toward his car. She shuts the door, locks it, then pulls back the curtain over the window near the door and watches. Suddenly, a car's headlights come on. Matt runs to catch the car as it backs out of the driveway. He watches it speed away. He looks back toward the mansion. Adrian lets the curtain fall back into place and leans against the doorframe.
Adrian, there you are. Your friend Caroline has some wonderful ideas for the floral design of the hall tonight. Where have you been hiding her?
Hello, Adrian, dear. You're late for our lunch. That can be expected on such a busy day.
Would you excuse us, please?
Adrian and Laura go into an office.
What the hell are you doing here?
I had to see you.
How did you know how to find me?
This is a very small town, Mrs. Wells.
You and I do not travel in the same circles.
Oh, yeah? I bet I know half your husband's best friends.
I don't want to be seen in the same room with you.
I don't care what you want. I got beat up last night. You understand? You see this?
Her neck is bruised.
It's pretty, isn't it?
Isn't that one of the occupational hazards of your trade?
Not with my clients. This guy was waiting for me in the hallway.
Well, maybe you should find another apartment.
He wanted to know how to find Richard, your damn husband. So now just what are you two up to? First, your husband's just some pervert. All he wants to do is talk to me. Then you come barging into my life. Now I've got guys standing outside my door threatening to kill me.
Look, I don't know anything about this.
You better tell me what's going on. Because I am not going to have my life torn apart by some jealous wife who can't satisfy her husband.
Sorry to bother you two, but we're ordering down for some lunch. Do you want something?
No, we're fine.
Wonderful. Looking forward to seeing you tonight.
Right, me too.
Eleanor leaves.
No way.
Hey, they invited me. My first society ball.
You are pushing too far.
Well, you better start giving me some answers about your husband. What about those tapes you've got?
You're not going to find out anything more than you already know.
I got to use this phone.
Don't you dare!
Relax, Adrian. The door's closed. You should be glad I didn't tell your darling friends how we really met. Hello? Michael. How are you? Oh, I miss you too.
That night at the benefit, men are dressed in tuxedos, and the women are in elegant gowns. With her hair swept up and dressed in a long blue gown, Adrian talks with a man at the party.
Sorry, Richard couldn't make it. Hunting trip, was it?
No, business trip.
Oh, whatever. A beautiful function.
As he leaves, Matt walks up behind her.
I knew we'd run into each other somewhere.
Oh, well, how did you get in?
What do you mean? $500 a head. I couldn't miss this.
Don't tell me you spent $500.
No, I know the guy running security. I'm just here checking up on you, Mrs. Wells, making sure you're in one piece, and you very much are.
Any more leads on the tapes?
I got some hunches, but I'm still working on it.
You might want to straighten up your tie.
Harold and Eleanor are nearby.
Oh, there she is.
Oh, excuse me, please. Adrian, so nice to see you. Still no word of Richard?
Oh, yes, he had to go away on business. Have you met Matt Henderson? He's an old friend of the family.
Hello, Matt. Nice to meet you. Now, that name sounds familiar.
You might remember my contribution to your campaign.
Ah, well, that must be it. Thanks again.
Oh, Harry, you have to meet Margaret Simpson over here.
Oh, yes. Excuse me, please.
They leave.
I wouldn't give that guy a dime. There's another crook on his way to the top.
Well, he's a good friend of Richard's.
Well, Mandel has a lot of good friends.
Adrian scowls when she sees Laura enter, wearing the black strapless gown she made.
Who's that?
That's her, Laura.
Laura slowly makes her way down a short set of stairs.
Really? That makes a lot more sense now.
Your type, huh?
No, I didn't say that.
Adrian!
It's Gary.
You look ravishing. Is it everything you dreamed?
Well, we'll see by tomorrow. Yeah. Matt, this is Gary Nussbaum, my lawyer.
Pleased to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you excuse me? I'm famished.
Of course.
They watch Matt walk away.
Who is he?
A private detective. He's helping me out.
Private detective? Adrian, I wish you had told me you were going that route. I would have gotten you somebody good.
Did Richard ever talk to you about a Pear Street Dental Group deal?
I don't think so. Why?
I think that was the last thing he was working on.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, please, may I have your attention? I'm glad you're all enjoying the champagne and hors d'oeuvres, but we must remember why we're all here. And I'd like to start by introducing the chairwoman of our Committee for the Homeless, a woman who has shown such deep concern for the less fortunate, and one of our city's finest citizens, Mrs. Adrienne Wells.
Matt talks to Laura as Adrienne takes the stage.
Thank you all for coming. I know you all have such busy lives, and it's wonderful that you should take the time out.
She spots Matt with Laura.
That you take the time out for such an important cause. The plight of the homeless affects us all deeply, and of course the future of our city. We're lucky, all of us here with families, people that we can count on and trust.
Cheers.
Thank you.
They drink champagne.
Your generosity tonight will be much.
You're a friend of Adrian's?
Yes. As you know, and you?
Oh, old friends.
Later, everyone is dancing. Matt is dancing with Laura as Adrienne dances with Gary.
I can live like this forever.
Adrienne watches them with a frown. Street lights and twinkling white lights shine around the dance floor. A row of orange and red flowers encompass the other side. Later, Matt and Laura are leaving the benefit.
Oh, that was wonderful. Thank you again.
Mamie doesn't have to end.
I have to go home.
Let me follow you back to your place. You've had a lot to drink.
All right. You insist.
A street light changes. It's dark and the streets are wet as Matt follows Laura in her car. As they stop at the light, he watches her talk on a portable phone. Soon after, they arrive at her apartment building. They get out of their cars and walk toward each other. He removes his tie as they talk.
Thanks. You didn't really have to do that.
It's the kind of guy I am. Maybe we can go up for a bit.
What for, Matt?
I don't know. Talk.
Talk, huh? Is that all? Well then, why don't you come up?
Soon after, they enter her apartment.
Why don't you take that coat off? He looked uncomfortable in it all night.
He takes off his jacket and stands very close to her.
So what are you up to, Matt?
What do you mean?
You talk like a cop. You're tight with Adrienne. Why are you here?
I think you're a very attractive woman.
Oh, come on, Matt. Did she put you up to this? I'm getting real tired of Adrienne butting into my life. What do you know about Richard? Maybe you could fill me in on a few things.
Hey, you may let me come up here to grill me and ask me a bunch of questions, but that's not why I'm here.
Oh, yeah? Well, how do I know that?
I'm just here to have a good time, that's all.
No cop then, huh?
It's been a long time, and I thought you might be able to help me out.
Well, I'm a little out of your range, Matt. Retired cops don't usually make their way up to this apartment.
Yeah, I realize that. I save up for nights like this.
Is that so?
She touches his face.
Oh, you want to have a good time tonight?
She leads him to the bed.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, what's your pleasure, Matt? What really turns you on?
Black. That cliche is nice.
Oh, really?
She picks up one from the bed.
Problem is, see, I gotta see some cash up front. You know, get that stuff all out of the way.
Right. He tosses some bills onto the bed.
Oh, honey, you really don't know where you are, do you?
He frowns, then tosses more bills onto the bed.
Well, seeing as I like the way you dance, that might get you half an hour.
Boy, you are expensive, aren't you?
She nods.
All right. Man's got to take what he can afford.
Why don't you go fix yourself a drink?
He starts to kiss her, but she pulls away. She smiles broadly as she goes into the next room. After she shuts the door, he quickly goes to her phone and puts a bug in it. He looks at a framed photograph of a man in her nightstand, then returns it. He heads over to her portable phone.
I'll be right out.
She goes back into the other room, and he quickly bugs the portable phone as well. In her car, Adrian stops in front of Laura's apartment and sees Matt's car parked out front. She peers up at the open, lighted window, then takes a deep breath. She frowns and drives away. In the apartment, Matt takes a drink. Laura walks out behind him in a black negligee and sheer robe.
Did you miss me?
She smiles as he steps closer and takes her into his arms.
You know? This just doesn't feel right.
What do you mean?
I'm paying for it.
What do you say?
For something that if we really liked each other.
Get out of my apartment.
You know, you should pay more attention to who your clients are. If you get into trouble.
Get out!
Besides, it's getting too hot for you to handle. Just give me a call.
Damn you!
He leaves. Adrian's walking to her front door when a car drives by. On her front step, she finds half of the picture that was next to her bedside. It's Richard's picture, but her picture has been torn away. She stares at the picture, then quickly goes into her home. She turns on the chandelier in the front entranceway. She leans back against the door for a moment, then holds up her long gown as she goes up the stairs. Adrian cautiously looks around as she crosses the open walkway and approaches Richard's office and the bedroom. The doors to the office are open, but there's only one light on. Adrian goes into the room and grabs a gun. She goes into her bedroom and turns on the lights. She looks around the room, puts her purse and the torn picture on the bed, then sits on the bed. She nervously fidgets with the gun. Matt and Adrian are eating outside at a restaurant.
Get worn out last night?
No. A little dancing, a little this and that.
She nods.
I guess you're too busy.
What do you mean?
I was just wondering how spending the evening with that whore helped you with your inquiries.
Give me a break. I didn't expect me to get my leads.
You call that getting leads? How long did you stay in her apartment, huh? Her bill better not end up on your expense report.
Sounds a little like jealousy to me.
Don't you flatter yourself.
She stands.
Hey, come on. Come on, sit back down.
Give me the tapes. I guess I'll have to handle this one on my own.
He gives her the bag of tapes.
I'm not going to stop working on this, Mrs. Wells. I started working on it long before I met you. There's talk of corruption down at the station, and I think your husband's involved.
Don't be ridiculous.
She leaves.
You need me on this case.
At Double Exchange, the man and women are opening fast food. Matt appears on a monitor of the front door.
Did you find it?
Yeah, here's the turkey, right?
Mayo.
Yeah, what do you want?
Sorry, the ladies forgot one tuna fish sandwich.
Yeah, just leave it by the door.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you say, have a good one.
Hey, Monica, get the sandwich and close the door.
Monica opens the door.
Hey, there's nothing.
Matt bursts in with his gun drawn.
Police, no one move.
Police, what are you kidding?
You check with your superiors before you come barging in here again, pal. Now show me your search warrant.
He pins the man against the door with his gun in his gut.
Here's my search warrant.
Matt walks over to the receptionist and picks up a paper from the desk.
Air Street Dental Group, huh?
He puts it in his pocket.
So where are the dentists and the drills, Tony?
How do you know my name?
Tony LaDry, I remember busting you on Ella Street for hustling and kid porn.
Hey, I cleaned up my act. This is a registered business.
How do you know Richard Wells?
I never heard of the guy.
He was raising your money, wasn't he? So why'd you kill him?
You don't know what you're talking about, Big Mouth. Who's telling you all this, huh?
Matt steps closer to Tony.
Your number one lady, Laura.
Hey, no way. Not Laura.
You better close up shop.
Tony glares at him. Matt goes to the door.
Nice looking dental hygienist.
Matt leaves. Tony rushes to the phone. Later, Adrian goes to some closed doors and runs her hand over them nervously. She opens the doors and sees her bedroom has been ransacked. She steps around objects and clothing on the floor, then kneels near a tape recorder.
Hi, honey. What do you think? Guess who's coming to visit now?
She throws the recorder down. She runs out of the room and down the stairs. A white car pulls up in front of Double Exchange and stops. Matt sits up in his car as he watches a man get out of the white car. Matt looks through some binoculars. It's Gary. Matt watches as Gary nervously glances around and goes into the building.
Contact me.
The phone rings at Gary's apartment.
Hello, this is Gary Nussbaum. I'm not in right now, but if you leave a message at the beep, I will get back to you shortly. Thanks.
Adrian hangs up the payphone and gets into her car. As she puts her seatbelt on, she spots Matt's business card on the seat next to her. She picks it up and stares at it. She puts it down, starts her car, and drives away. It's dusk. As Adrian drives down the highway, she turns the car's headlights on. Matt's listening to Laura's phone conversations from his house as he holds a beer.
Not even a cop, Tony.
That's worse. What the hell are you telling him, huh? How does he know about my dealings with Wells?
I don't know what you're talking about. You introduced me to this Richard guy. Tell me all he wants to do is talk to me, learn about the business, that's all.
Don't act stupid, Laura. I don't trust you anymore, babe. You're dead in this town.
Tony, what are you saying? You know I'm loyal to you.
Forget it, Laura.
Oh, no, my other line is ringing.
What are you saying? What other line?
The portaphone you gave me. I'll call you right back, honey. Don't go away.
Matt pushes a button.
How you doing, babe?
Just fine, honey. Feeling kind of lonely tonight.
I certainly...
Matt turns the machine off, puts his beer down, and gets his gun from its holster. Adrian gets out of her car and walks toward Matt's seaside house.
Adrian, come on in.
He hides the gun behind his back.
Hey, you look really shaken. Let me get you a drink.
She sits on his couch in the now cleaned up room.
Someone broke into my house, went through all my clothes, and there was a message on my machine from Richard.
No, you must be mistaken.
I recognized his voice. It was him telling me, guess who's coming to visit? And I think I was followed out here. I can't be sure. Look, I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't just barge in on you like this, but I...
It's all right now. It's all right. Nobody's coming out here. Whoever it was, they're not coming in here.
Someone unseen watches through a window as Matt gives her a drink and sits beside her. A fire burns in a fireplace near them. Inside...
Cleaned up this place.
Yeah, I needed it.
She stares at her drink.
What is this?
Bourbon.
She takes another drink.
Good, huh?
Look, I want to apologize, Matt, for doubting you.
I know this has been really rough on you.
I lived with someone for 5 years, and suddenly you find out that they have this whole other life that you're not a part of, that you don't want to be a part of.
Richard was desperate. He was trying to save his business by setting up some investors in a prostitution ring.
He wasn't just talking to those whores. He was going to buy into the business?
With someone else's money. But the ring never got it. If your husband's alive, he's got the money.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
She guzzles more of the bourbon as Matt watches.
Maybe Richard was right about me. His wife with the cold, lifeless body. Maybe I started this whole thing.
No.
He puts his glass down.
Richard was dead wrong about you.
You think so?
I think you're a very beautiful woman, Adrian.
I've seen your type.
That was business.
What's this?
This is me wanting to kiss you since I first saw you at the police station.
She smiles a little.
You have a funny way of showing it.
I know, it's one of my weaknesses.
I wouldn't call it that.
They stare at each other for a long moment. Without taking his eyes off of her, he takes her glass and puts it on a table. He slowly leans closer to kiss her. They kiss passionately, then they touch foreheads.
Don't know if I can do this. It's been a long time.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
They kiss again. As they continue to kiss, they lean back on the couch. Later, under a red quilt in front of the fire, they make love on the floor. Despite a fierce wind, Matt fishes off the beach. Back at his house, Adrian is getting dressed. She picks up the red quilt and starts folding it.
Matt! Matt! Phone!
She looks around the house.
Matt!
Hello?
Adrian?
Who is this? Laura?
I'm so scared.
What is it?
Laura's apartment's in shambles.
What kind of a man did you marry?
What happened?
Richard. He broke in. He tore everything apart. He got into my underwear. He ripped them up. He ripped up all my drawings. I saw him last night.
What are you saying?
Richard is after me. He says that I destroyed his life with you. He's gone crazy, Adrian. I can't take it. There's blood everywhere.
Oh, God. Is Pat right there?
No. No, but I can get him.
No, don't.
Don't. He can't be trusted.
What do you mean?
Haven't you figured it out? That Matt's on the take.
He was hired by my boss, Tony, to keep you from finding out too much.
No, that's not true, Matt.
Why do you think he knows so much? Huh? You think you just met him by accident?
How did you get this number?
Oh, Adrian, I don't have time for this! Matt gave it to me!
And I suppose he fed you bourbon and got you under that big red quilt in front of the fire. Favorite move. Matt told me not to tell you anything. He said that he would take care of it. But nobody told me that Richard would go crazy on me, putting blood all over the place.
All right, look. I'm leaving right now. Why don't you meet me at my house, 152 Oak Street. We'll get the tapes, and then we'll go to the police.
Okay, but don't tell Matt.
Look, I'm leaving right now. Meet me at my house.
Well, what if Richard's there? What if he's waiting for us?
That's a chance we have to take.
Adrian hangs up. Laura, wearing a short white robe and short pajamas, hugs the receiver for a moment. There's spots of blood on her robe. She hangs up. Adrian runs out to her car, the wind whipping her long hair into her face. Just as she leaves, Matt comes in the back door with his fishing pole and tackle box. He shuts the door and looks around.
Adrian?
He leans the pole against a wall. He goes to a bathroom and looks around.
Adrian?
He steps outside and sees that her car is gone. Adrian drives back to her mansion. Matt quickly opens a closet to reveal the machines he used to listen to Laura's phone calls.
Hi there, this is Laura, and I'm real sorry I missed your call. But why don't you leave me a message when you hear the beep?
Laura? Laura, honey. Now you know what I like. Don't you, Laura?
Matt stands with his mouth open.
I can't believe it. She stole the tape.
Matt grabs his keys and his gun and hurries out. Laura's sitting in a red car in front of the mansion when Adrian arrives.
Finally.
I'll just get the tapes. I'll be right back.
No, don't leave me alone, please.
Okay, come with me.
Maybe I could change inside. I feel so dirty.
She helps Laura out of the car, then runs to the front door. Laura has a large black bag with her and is still wearing the white robe and pajamas. She grabs her portable phone before closing the car door. Matt races to Adrian's home. He has to swerve to miss a pickup truck pulling an RV. He runs off the road, smashes into a barbed wire fence, and lands in a ditch.
Damn.
He spins the tires trying to get out, but they're stuck. He opens the door, looks at the tires, then tries again. He finally gets the car free and heads back toward the highway. Adrian leads Laura to the kitchen.
You can make a change in there.
Oh, this is so lovely. You must have been very happy here. At least at first.
I thought I was. I'll just look at the tapes.
Wait. My mouth's really dry. It must be my nerves. Do you think I can have something to drink?
Sure.
As Adrian gets her drink, Laura looks around the elaborate kitchen.
Meals I could make in this kitchen.
Laura picks up a large meat cleaver. She licks a kitchen towel.
Really very domestic.
And rubs the cleaver.
I just never get the chance.
Adrian goes to the phone.
Hello?
Adrian, it's Matt.
Oh, really?
She hangs up.
Damn!
He gets more money for the payphone.
Who was that?
Oh, just a prank phone call. Nothing to worry.
Maybe I should answer it. Had a lot more experience.
No, that's...
Laura still has the meat cleaver as she watches Adrian go to the phone.
Listen, why don't you just...
Please don't hang up on me. Please listen.
What do you want?
Is Laura with you?
Yes, why?
Is she looking at you?
Yes.
All right, listen very carefully and don't show any emotion, but Laura's very dangerous, okay?
Oh, come off it.
Look, your husband's dead and Laura killed him.
That's not possible.
Yes, it is. They were having an affair, Laura got in the house, and was talking to him on a portable phone when she killed him. All the messages on your tape machine were made by her. She stole some tapes from your house and was playing back bits of his conversation. I've been bugging both of her phones and she just made another one.
Laura runs her finger along the blade, grimaces, and sticks her finger in her mouth.
You sure?
Just believe what I'm telling you, please. As calmly as possible, try to get away from her, but don't excite her. I'll be there shortly and I'm calling the police.
All right, Eleanor. Bye.
Something the matter?
Just problems with the committee. Seems we didn't reach our goals with the fundraiser.
Laura nods.
You seem really upset.
No, I just I put a lot of work into it, that's all.
I see.
Laura smiles and steps closer to her.
Do you think you could go get those tapes? I don't like being in this house too long.
Sure.
Maybe I should come with you.
Oh, it's okay. I can handle it.
Laura follows her anyway.
I don't want to wait here all alone.
I'll be just a second.
Adrian quickly goes into a restroom, locking the door behind her. Adrian watches as the doorknob moves.
Adrian? Are you okay in there?
Yes, I'll be right out.
Don't frighten me now.
Adrian turns the water on in the sink. She takes several deep breaths as she stares at the door. Then she turns the water off. Adrian picks up an extension in the restroom and listens.
Richard, please. Just talk to her. No, Richard.
Adrian stares at the phone.
No, she's not like that. None of us are. How can you say that? When we care about you. We do. We both do.
Adrian quietly opens the door and sees Laura on the phone in the hall.
Richard, please, just talk to her.
Laura sees Adrian staring at her. Adrian rushes back into the restroom and struggles to lock the door again. With her mouth open, Laura hangs up the phone. Adrian finally gets the door locked and steps back from it. The doorknob rattles again.
Adrian? It's not what you think.
Adrian frowns.
Adrian? Come out and talk. I can explain everything. Really.
Laura starts using the meat cleaver on the door. Adrian watches in horror as Laura continues chopping.
Open the door! Open the door!
Adrian trembles as Laura cuts out a large square in the door. The cleaver appears briefly as Laura continues chopping a hole in the door. She finally breaks through, then reaches through and unlocks the door. Adrian pushes the door hard and knocks Laura to the floor.
All freshened up now?
Adrian runs for it. She darts into a room, then darts out again. Laura scowls as she gets to her feet, still holding the meat cleaver. Her hands are bloody. Adrian runs downstairs and ducks into the meat locker. Laura slowly walks around the corner.
We're just playing our little game. Where am I? He despised me for coming here. I could see it in his eyes. This man who said he loved me. This man who would make love to me anywhere. The hotel, on the beach.
In the kitchen, she picks up a large plate.
That was sacred!
She breaks it. Bathed in a blue light, Adrian steps further into the meat locker. She backs into meat hanging on a hook. Laura takes the pager out of the robe pocket.
Not available.
She tosses it down. She picks up a butcher's knife and puts the meat cleaver down. She strokes the blade.
Richard said I was everything. And I believed him. Isn't that strange? Of all people, I fell for it. I was nothing to Richard.
Adrian keeps walking backward in the freezer. She backs around a shelf and doesn't see a man's body dressed in a suit hanging from a hook behind her. It's Richard. She covers her mouth with her hand. His head is bloody.
It all happened so fast. I didn't mean to kill him. It was just so damn easy. I hit him once, and he was dead. Adrian, just give me those tapes, and I'll leave you alone, I promise.
Adrian moves forward against the wall.
I found some of the others. Where are you hiding the rest? I have nothing against you, Adrian. It was his fault. He used both of us.
Laura raises the butcher knife and stabs some meat. They struggle over the knife. Adrian runs out and tries to open the front door, but it's locked. Laura's right behind her. Adrian runs up the stairs, but Laura slowly follows with a slight smile. Her hand bloody, Adrian runs into a closet and shuts the door behind her. A small piece of clothing is sticking out near the bottom of the door. She ducks behind some hanging clothing. Holding the butcher knife in one hand, Laura absently walks up the stairs. She strokes the banister.
Oh. I love this. I always wanted a house with a long, sweeping banister.
She smiles as she slowly goes up the stairs.
Can you see me now, Adrian? You're tiring? After a long day of lunch, tea?
Matt arrives at the mansion. As he runs toward the house, he takes his gun from its holster. With splotches of blood on her face, Laura peeks into Richard's office. She goes in, puts the knife down on a table and picks up a shotgun and goes back into the hallway.
I should've known. All he wanted to do was talk. And I was losing.
She goes to the bedroom.
He was fantasizing about you. His own wife.
Matt tries to open some double French doors, but they're locked. In the closet, Adrienne has tears streaming down her face.
In the end, you got them all, didn't you, Adrienne? Huh? Richard loved you. And Matt went for you, didn't he?
Matt tries the door near the kitchen, but it's locked as well. He shades his eyes as he tries to peer inside.
What is it about you, Adrienne?
Laura sees the clothing sticking out near the base of the closet door. Adrienne breathes hard, closes her eyes, and prays. With the shotgun aimed in front of her, Laura walks toward the closet. Through a window, Matt sees Laura with a gun crossing the upstairs walkway. Laura smiles as she stands in front of the door.
I want to know your secret, Adrienne. What makes men want you so bad?
She opens the closet door.
There you are.
Matt breaks in the glass with a chair. Holding his gun, he hurries into the house. Laura backs away from the closet. She points the shotgun down the stairs at Matt and shoots him in the shoulder. He falls onto a stair landing and she aims again. Adrienne pushes her over the walkway banister. Holding his bloody shoulder, Matt stares up at Adrienne. He grimaces and struggles to his feet. He goes up the stairs to Adrienne. They hug and stare down at Laura's lifeless body. Blood is pouring from her head. The shotgun landed just above her. Later, police and reporters are on the scene. Gary ducks under the crime scene tape.
I'm a lawyer. Adrienne. If I knew introducing Richard to those people, I had no idea.
I think you've been fired, pal. You can probably get Mandela's claim.
They walk away arm in arm. Matt's injured arm is in a sling. Much later, they're walking barefoot along the beach.
Maybe we could do a little fishing.
They're holding hands.
You like to fish?
I don't know. I've never tried.
They smile at each other.
Look, it's okay with you, Arlo. I'll just stay here a couple days.
Yeah, as long as you like.
They put their arms around each other.
This is a good place to figure out what you really want to do.
Yes, I think it is.
As the sun sets on the horizon behind them, they face each other. They touch noses, then kiss.